Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast, number 525. This week, May 29th, 30th, and 31st, I'll be doing the stand-ups at Wise Guys in West Valley City, Utah, which is Salt Lake City. If you're there in Utah, come by. And then a couple weeks later, I'll be back at Helium in Portland on June 12th, 13th, and 14th. So go to the internet to find tickets for that, and hopefully you'll see you out there. Also, if you're going to be in Phoenix, Arizona, Matt and Jonah are doing their own show, I believe, on Thursday, June 5th at Stand Up Live. So go, again, to the same aforementioned internet to find tickets for that. Go say hi to those, go say hi to the sister wives. I would like to thank you for sponsoring this episode of Nerdist Podcast, Squarespace. Squarespace is an all-in-one platform that makes it really fast, easy to create your own professional website, portfolio, online store, whatever you need. And whatever level of experience you are, if you're a beginner or if you're advanced, they have 24-hour, 7-days-a-week support at Squarespace. And plans just start at $8 a month. That includes a free domain if you sign up for a year. Every design automatically includes a unique mobile experience that matches the overall style of your website, which is very important. If you look at current user trends, mobile use is going through the roof. I was just trying to make that sound. Don't laugh at me, Chloe. Mobile trends are going through the roof, Chloe.
No, I believe you.
There's not even a roof.
I mean, you're selling me on whatever you're trying to sell.
Did you notice that there's not a roof above your head? Those are the mobile trends. Yeah. And Squarespace will help you with that. Start a trial with no credit card. Start building your website. When you decide to sign up for Squarespace, make sure you use the offer code Nerdist to get 10% off and show your support for the Nerdist podcast. We'd like to thank Squarespace for their support. Squarespace.com. I don't know. It's on fire. I don't think we should let it burn. I think we should actually put the fire out.
I think that's probably for the best.
All right, get the water.
All right.
This episode is Clark Gregg returning to the Nerdist Podcast. He was on last year. Clark's a good guy. He's a damn delightful gentleman. He's a good hang. Why is good hang funny?
It just sounds real dirty.
It's not.
He's got a good hang.
He probably does have a good hang.
He seems like he would.
Clark is Agent Coulson, of course, in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the Avengers films. But he also, and we believe he talked about this the last time he was here, but he wrote, directed, and is starring in a movie called Trust Me. And Trust Me is in theaters June 6th. It stars, as I said, Clark, Felicity Huffman, Sam Rockwell, Amanda Peet, Allison Janney. It's sort of a, it's kind of a dark comedy about a struggling agent, like a kid actor agent. But anyway, Clark, you're the best, buddy, if you're listening to this. If not, everyone else. It's the Nerdist Podcast number 525 with Clark Gregg, returning.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
It's pretty great.
I brought you one thing.
Oh, shit! This is awesome!
I don't often like to give small totems of myself. If there's anyone I thought might enjoy that.
I absolutely enjoy that. Oh my god, thank you so much! This is awesome!
I love that.
I mean, I would still just come over and go like this.
Could I put you on the dashboard?
I wouldn't offend me whatsoever.
Well, I don't...
In a hula skirt, if you want, I would laugh hard.
I would sure love to have... You know, there's no... See, that's the problem when you host a show. There's nothing really action-y about that, so you don't get an action figure.
But and we've Katie's already started recording. But this, I'm looking at the Agent Coulson.
We're podcasting right now.
This is happening.
Jeez Louise!
The Agent Coulson pop figure is vinyl. It's great. It's really great.
I brought a bobblehead for my friend Chris.
But see, I don't want to take it out of the box though, because you've signed the box.
You wouldn't be a nerd if you did.
Yeah, but I know. It's sort of like the...
I'll give you another one that you can take out of the box.
Sometimes...
My mother sent me 300.
Sometimes being a nerd is not fun because it means you don't get to play with things because you're too worried that you're going to ruin it. And it's like, ruin it for what?
I know.
Well, for collecting it. For why? Well, to have it so that it's perfect. But shouldn't you have fun with that?
I think you can pass up the ultimate possible potential value of an Agent Coulson bobblehead, I think is something you can probably survive without. It was really fun doing your show, by the way.
Oh, you did great. Oh,
fucking, it was so fun.
It was so that this well, the show will have already aired, so we can talk about the fact that the Craigslist ad of I will pay you to come to my house and sit in a bathtub full of cooked noodles, essentially just to marinate
cooked?
Them with your body.
Yeah. Your downstairs parts.
Yeah, all of them. But they did say you can wear swimming attire.
It said swimming suit, which made me think this might not have been a young person or a Native American speaker, just because swimming suit.
Would you like to wear a swimming suit in the bathtub of noodles?
I want you to know that I was sitting back there like the wannabe comedian that I am, writing down different...
you wrote, so these are, if the hashtag were bathtub noodles,
yeah,
with where someone is basing
their body.
Someone's
boasting.
You wrote
basting.
Booty broth, which I'm a huge fan of. Crackaroni, great. Labia linguine, which would upset people.
I know.
Rump robin, and then...
This one's going to be too subtle.
You'd have to see this written, but it's udon yet? But it looks like udon yet? That's fucking fantastic. See,
but then I went with the callback.
But it makes me sad now that you were not a contestant on the show.
No,
I feel like
they were brilliant.
I feel like you could.
Those were actual. Those people are licensed to use comedy.
when you have to go down to the Comedy Bureau and get your, you have to renew your license every couple of years.
I always fail the test.
You know, I never study for it because I always think I'm going to do fine, and then fuck, I always miss like one too many. So I think I'm up for renewal again. But
I always joke about that when I do particularly heinous takes, like. I hear the SAG sirens coming to take away my card again.
Oh yeah, I think it's fortunate for a lot of people that SAG that there's no qualitative test to make it into the Screen Actors Guild. It's because I've made comments about this before that especially if you're shooting on something with a budget and you can do. Was like your movie. You probably was a little more on the fly. And it's like, okay, we got two, maybe three takes. But if you're
same camera that they used for the Avengers, and you kind of go, wow, it's amazing. These couldn't be more different. And sometimes you go, wow, it's the same because it's all digital now. This is the same camera they probably used on Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
You never know. Yeah,
all the brows are covered.
They didn't just shoot all of the Kardashians shows like on an iPhone or something. It feels like they would have shot it on a diamond crusted Louis Vuitton
yes.
iPhone. But the idea being that...
Bedazzled. That's
here's why...
A bedazzled iPhone. Oh, sorry. I'm still in your show.
Here's 2 points. So...
Points.
I just gave you points. But the idea being, I think one of the reasons why it would be terrifying for me to be an actor is that, besides that I lack the skill, is that there would be tons
There's many people that hasn't slowed down one tiny bit.
Still card-carrying members of the Screen yes. Actors Guild. But the idea being that there would be tons of takes of me out there not nailing it and fear that some editor would get all pissed off at me for some reason and be like, fuck you, here's all the takes where you suck.
Everyone in the crew gets a gift.
Yep.
The editor gets a very special gift.
And also the ability to extort funds yes. from you for the rest of your
Everybody's
life.
Everybody's got some stinkers out there. If they ever release audition tapes, it would bring a quick end to a lot of careers, namely mine.
That would be a great show.
Oh.
It's just showing audition tapes for things.
Oh.
Don't you think? I mean,
there's a lot of stuff you go in for thinking you're right for it, and only later do you realize, you know, I wasn't right for Pretty Woman, the Julia Roberts part.
You know, at the time, I thought I had it. At the time, I was...
How could they have made that mistake?
So, boy, you could reboot Pretty Woman. You'd be a good. You could do that.
Oh, please!
They're rebooting that. So they're rebooting shit all the time.
I have to say, even though it's a ludicrous movie, I love it.
It's kind of not
but
bad.
But you know the real, sincere.
So where you know, you're the Julia Roberts character? Where you're,
I think so. I would totally. You know, just like
what was her name?
And he like slaps the jewelry thing shut, and I just punch him.
Yeah. Ah, bitch!
Hey, man.
Yeah. I'm flossing my teeth in here, asshole. I'm not doing drugs, bitch. That's with the Aaron Paul version.
Now I have it. Now there's two of us going for this role.
Pretty Women. It's Pretty Women where he gets a bunch of them.
Yes.
And it's all
Louisa May Alcott.
Yeah. There's an amazing Louisa May Alcott.
Pretty Little Women.
Yes, but it's all dudes, so it's Louisa May Alcott.
Thank you.
All right. Good night, guys. You guys have been really great. That's my time. Sorry I was on at the end of the show. There's a really amazing picture of Aaron Paul dressed as Jane, as Kristen Ritter's character from Breaking Bad. And they look so much alike. He did the bangs and the makeup. They look so much alike. Katie, could you pull that up?
I can see that. I bet he'd make a pretty girl.
Aaron, he does make a pretty girl.
Yeah.
Let's talk about other actors who make pretty girls.
I did one of those movies. This movie called The Adventures of Sebastian Cole. And sadly, those pictures are on the internet. And I thought I was going to be damn well beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Much to my surprise, that was really not the case.
You know, sometimes we really lack the perspective on ourselves to understand we would not make a pretty woman, no. Nor were we right for that part we thought we were right for.
Well, we shot this thing very low budget in upstate New York, and we'd be, you know, in a deli that was still selling people stuff, and people would look at me like, oh, poor guy.
That's Aaron Paul.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
I mean, he's beautiful.
Ish.
Yeah.
Okay.
Katie, leave that up. Katie, leave that up in here. Also, the name Aaron Paul works both ways. Could be a lady's name.
Like Clark Gregg.
Just like Clark Gregg.
Yes.
Are there lady clerks?
My boy. There is one. I met one once. It just happened. That's not probably not of great use to your listeners.
But who is this lady clerk?
I did meet a woman named Clark. She was an executive at an office. Next to an office. People said, oh, you have to meet Clark. And there she was. My wife has a wonderful manager named Greg Clark. And I used to get his emails sometimes from people.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I can blackmail
him.
So
you have a lot of shit on this guy.
Yeah, a lot.
A lot of shit. Are you guys... So you're not shooting S.H.I.E.L.D. right now.
I can't tell you.
God damn it.
Yeah, we finished.
Oh, okay, good.
We wrapped the season 2 weeks ago.
And have you had any time to not have to do anything?
I haven't really because I made, funny you should say.
What is this?
I made this little film called Trust Me, which I may have mentioned on my last somewhat recent visit to Nerdist.
Yeah.
My memory's not great, so you're going to have to give me, like, we have to have a signal when I start to say the same crap I said last time. I made a little film called Trust Me, and that was kind of timed to come out when I could actually go around and help promote it a little bit, and that's coming out now. So I've been doing a bunch of that stuff, and I'm going to do some more of it. But I will take a little much-needed break because it turns out the whole Hydra thing's kind of exhausting.
Yeah. I mean, listen, don't be upset. I may have hailed Hydra on At Midnight.
We know.
Oh, fuck.
Everyone knows.
I emailed.
Just don't have Sam Jackson on your show, and everything's going to be okay.
Who put all these motherfucking Hydras on this motherfucking plane?
That's right.
How badly did you want him to say that at some point? He has a good sense of humor about it.
He does. And in fact, the first time he came to visit our show, there was definitely a few takes after he walks off where I'm like, there was a couple where we improvised about, like he said, you're not getting your fish tank. There was definitely a couple like, I guess we can't have any snakes on the motherfucking plane.
And Sam, Hydra's a bunch of snakes. We can't say motherfucking on the show. Sam, we can't say motherfucking.
No,
but he has a great sense of humor. Because he was on the Talking Bad show, and in between during commercial breaks, he would tell these amazing stories. I mean, I would think, oh, he's probably talked about this stuff so much he doesn't want to. But he was offering this great information about how they didn't want him to say, get these motherfucking things on this motherfucking plane. He was like, that's the whole reason to do the movie is for that one line.
Yes.
So we just shot it in California. Once we were done, I made him shoot it.
Oh, good for him. I didn't know that.
Yeah. That's what he said.
Yeah, he comes up with great ones. I guarantee you some of Nick Fury's stuff has been kind of filtered through the Sam.
Well, because I hailed Hydra on at midnight, when I went to WonderCon, there was a growing number of people coming by and going, "Hail Hydra." Like, it really did start to spread a bit.
Don't be surprised if you never see those people.
What? Wait, because I'm going to get snatched up or they're going to get snatched up?
I don't know.
So what happens all of season two of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Just break it down. Storylines, plot lines, spoil everything.
Scarlet Witch.
What?
No, I'm just kidding.
See, it must be hard because you know all this. You know a lot of stuff that you have to keep in your head.
So sweet. You think they tell me anything?
Oh, you don't know anything? Do they keep it from you too?
Mostly, yeah. Yeah, a lot has been revealed since I was last here. I definitely kept it that way, and they were only too happy to oblige me because they don't tell me much anyway. But at a certain point, I realized that the frustration I had about not knowing what the hell this was adding up to and looking for hints and not getting them explained to me was kind of very much what Agent Phil Coulson was feeling, and it was driving him nuts. And I decided to kind of keep it that way. And then one day they called me in and said, "Okay, we think..." Actually, that's not true. There was a couple of times when I had to call them. Okay, wait a minute. Okay, and this scene, Phil Coulson knows more than even I know. Like, you have to tell... I have to at least know what he knows.
And then when they tell you, were you like, spoilers?
I was a little... The audience geek in me was like, whoa, dude, come on. How am I going to watch the episode now? They sat me down and said, look, you know, there's some stuff that's coming up that we have to tell you. And the whole, you know how we call it Centipede? Mm-hmm. It's not. It's really Hydra. And I went,
oh, what?
And they told me a bunch of stuff. But they still, I was the only one who knew for a couple of days. And I was walking around with people with targets on their back or Hydra emblems over their heads and didn't know it yet. And then we had this big table read. And this is when Marvel starts to really be like S.H.I.E.L.D., where here's the new episode. This is the ending. And at the last minute, they come in with these top secret red pages with this new ending.
Is Kevin Feige Nick Fury?
They're not dissimilar. they're not alike in any way, but they're also not dissimilar. And they actually had to sit a couple of the members of the cast down, actually all of us together the day before this reading, just because people were going to be shocked.
Yeah.
And it was kind of amazing because you live it. You're working so many hours. You've kind of been through this incredible journey together where everybody didn't know each other, just like the characters, and became a team and tried to kind of like get through the tough times, get to the good times. And people went through like shock and denial and no, he's not. How you know, could you?
I think it would be a bummer to work on a show and either not be a fan of the show or be the type of actor who was like, yeah, I don't watch any of the stuff because I just don't, you know.
I know.
Because I feel like it's so much more fun to get to be a fan of stuff and not just have to be a cog in a big acting wheel.
It would kill your soul. I don't know how you'd get through the hours, you know. And luckily, that's really not our team. Joss and Jad and Marissa, the Whedon triumvirate, they're really good at kind of casting people who are really into it. You know, I don't know. They must have a kind of nerd radar for people. And the kids and Ming, me and Ming and the kids, they're there because they really believe in it.
Yeah.
It sounds really kind of chest thumping. But it makes it so much more fun. And we kind of watch it. And when you watch it, a show like this, so much of it is, oh boy, I hope there's some cool effects on this. The guy who does them is this amazing guy, Mark Kolpak. And everyone's like, come on, I'm just standing here holding a theater light. I hope some crazy beams are going to be coming out of this. Come on, Kolpak, or I'm going to be looking really stupid.
Well, Joss has a really amazing ability to... He's a really amazing ability to in any project that he's involved with. I don't know. There's something about it that makes you feel like you're a part of, like you're a part of this friend group that just made a thing together, and you get to watch how it played out, as opposed to just this is just entertainment. Like when I watch Firefly, I was like, oh, I really feel like I'm a part of that group. Or if I watch Buffy, I felt like I was a part of that group.
I've never thought of that. That's so true. There is an inclusion. There's a reason that Joss has this kind of giant, and I would say cult, but I don't even think it's a cult. It's like a family of people because you feel like you're part of it. You know, he listens. They really kind of care about working for that group. And the kind of, I really met most of the kind of actor part of that family when I did Much Ado at his house. And I was kind of nervous, like they'd all been to camp together all summer, and I was like the guy showing up for the last week. And they kind of couldn't have been nicer about welcoming me into that group, because I'd been kind of cast on a fluke and had to learn this whole giant part in 2 days and was terrified to begin with. Hadn't done Shakespeare since I was about 23. And just one by one, Amy Acker and Alexis Denisoff, they all kind of came over and just welcome to the Whedonverse, bro. And so when Amy turned around and came back and played the cellist on S.H.I.E.L.D., I texted Joss. He was a few days from his first day of shooting Avengers. He just was so thrilled to see that circle come back around. And Jay August and a lot of people like that, Ron Glass.
Now, did you after your performance of Much Ado, did you get so full of adrenaline that you passed out before the next shot? See, I remember that story from the last time you were on.
People remember this terrifying Broadway story that I told last time. See it on that episode, because I'm not going to do it again. Go back to your file, people. It's such a terrifying story that people would text me or tweet me saying that they were having to pull over in their cars because they were so anxious listening to it. Yeah.
I mean, that's there's no... that is some people's ultimate anxiety. I'm either supposed to be on stage and I'm not there, or I'm on stage and I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing and everyone is watching me.
Do other people get that? I mean, I guess anyone who's ever been in a school play knows that terror.
I think so. Well, even if it's not performance related, it's still the idea of getting up in front of people and they're expecting something from you. I mean, obviously, I don't think you have to dig that deep to understand what type of fears that unlocks for people. It doesn't...
No, it's the naked thing. You're naked in public.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the actor version.
Yeah, your soul is naked, essentially, because you don't know... I don't know how I'm supposed to...
I get the one where it's like the last week of high school, and I have forgotten to go to some class the whole time, and I'm realizing I'm not going to graduate. You ever get that one?
I haven't gotten that one.
And everyone's aliens?
My recurring...
Oh wait, I just combined all the other dreams.
Hail Hydra. And I
dude, stop saying that.
What's wrong?
It upsets me a little.
I'm sorry.
There's very little kind of membrane.
I didn't
between
say anything.
Me and Phil Coulson
I think you're
anymore.
Hearing
I
stuff.
It.
I didn't
I
say
know.
Anything.
Now you're gaslighting me. Typical Hydra.
What? My recurring dream, and it's pretty regular, is it's hosting SNL. I'm hosting SNL, and I either I've been forced on stage during the monologue, or it's the middle of the show, and I don't know. It's like I didn't go to rehearsal, or like, why I can't remember anything that we rehearsed.
Dude, why didn't you go to rehearsal?
And just because of the function of your brain, when you're dreaming, none of the letters make any sense.
Yeah.
So all these things are scrawled on cards, and I can't quite. And so that for me is for some reason it's SNL.
Wow, I really want to see you host SNL now.
That's never going to happen.
Oh,
I would love to.
Really good.
But I'm not that. You got to be a certain.
Hashtag Hardwick must host.
I think you could host SNL before I would be able to host SNL.
Oh, well, I just
wouldn't that
ruined
be
this chair when you said that.
What? Aww.
I was nervous on your show. The whole, like,
get in this bathtub full of noodles.
Give me the lines ahead of time and let me learn them.
That'd be really fun. I think you could host SNL. I think it'd be great. That'd be really fun.
Oh, stop. Hashtag Clark to host. No.
It'd be fun if they just infused a bunch of Marvel folks in SNL. I think that'd be great.
I used to hear stories about people who hosted it.
Like what?
This may be apocryphal.
Okay.
But I'm a huge Chris Walken fan, and I would...
Sure.
Anyone I knew who dealt with him, I would try to get stories. And there was a story that at the beginning of the week, they would go around in a circle and talk about possible ideas that would work for that host. And Chris Walken was hosting, and he was listening very kind of stoically to all the things. And they got around to him. And there's a long pause, and he goes, "Bear suits are funny."
He's not wrong. He's not wrong.
Not remotely wrong.
Did your wife ever host SNL?
She was asked, and in terror, she turned it down. And it's one of those things she regrets to this day.
I can understand.
And doesn't regret at the same time.
Sure, sure, sure.
It's supposed to be a very scary ride.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, it's... That, you know, you have to write the show in less than a week and then rehearse it and then perform it. And, you know, you get one shot. You get one shot at it. Well, I think they do a practice show, but then you get one shot at the... I'd feel better if I knew if all goes wrong, we can use the take from the practice show. I feel like I would feel like,
do they
okay,
do that?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
But
maybe
it'd be nice
do
if there was a little bit of a safety net. But I guess
bet
that's
there
what's
is. I don't know. I went. Somebody I knew was a page there, like in the late 80s, and invited me to go watch. I remember I went and watched, and Elvis Costello, who I'm a huge Elvis Costello fan, was playing. And I walked in, I sat there, and they started playing the music, and I went, oh, man, this is why I moved to New York. I loved the show so much when it first came on in the late 1800s. And I,
when
I
it was on
so
Zoetrope.
Obsessed with it, the sense of humor, the bands, the idea of New York there. And I realized as I was listening to the band play, this totally is why I moved here. Now I live here, and I forgot it was completely because of this.
So was Elvis Costello just the musical guest?
He was the musical guest.
Who was the host?
Like I said, this was the late 1800s.
so it was probably
was
Old Hickory.
Yeah, exactly.
Teddy Roosevelt.
It was Alexander Graham Bell.
The whole sketch was, Watson, come here. I need you.
Yes, exactly.
Watson, come in here.
Never gets old.
Bathe me in these noodles. We're in a steampunk bathtub. They were very aware that steampunk was an aesthetic.
Steampunk, they knew.
Yeah, they knew what they were doing. More brass. Watson, I need more brass. So I'm trying to remember, is Elvis Costello, because he's been on a bunch. Elvis Costello's been on a bunch.
Many times. I think this might
have been. He has been on a few times.
Well, he got banned. There was a whole story. This was not that time. He'd been back. He was back on by then. This might have been the Veronica tour.
So he had that was the Mighty Like a Rose, right? That was Mighty
Veronica,
Like a Rose.
I think, was the album with Veronica was the one that had God's Comic.
Yeah, which is a fucking amazing song. And that's also when Elvis went through his crazy, like, I have a giant beard and I look all weird. That was...
He was Brooklyn before Brooklyn was
that
Brooklyn.
Was 88, 89. I remember that one. I remember that one.
He's been banned for like 5 years.
Yeah, because of Radio. Yeah.
So why don't I know this story? Because I remember there was the one... Is that why they did the thing where the Beastie Boys started playing it and then he rushes on?
No, it was about, they didn't want him to play the song Radio, which was about kind of corruption in the music business.
In Thatcher, England, and so he felt it didn't apply to American culture, and he wanted to play Less Than Zero because it was the new single. So he gets halfway through playing Radio and goes, oh, this is totally irrelevant. 1, 2, 3.
He goes, I can't play this here.
Zero, yeah.
I thought it was that they told him not to play this, and he played Watching the Detectives instead. I don't know. See,
it's because they came to him and they said, hey, Elvis, instead of saying, could we get much higher, can you say, girl, we can't get any better?
Right. I always heard it was a censorship thing that he wasn't happy about, and that's why they banned him.
I just had heard about it recently.
They said, don't play this here.
And then it's maybe he just added a bunch of things. Radio is a giant blowjob, sucking titties and a poop and a fart. And they're like, okay, well, you can't.
In the noodles with the...
In the steampunk bathtub. Watson, come here, I need you.
With some rump ramen soup.
So,
ooh, done yet.
So basically what we've mashed up is Elvis Costello is playing Alexander Graham Bell in a sketch about a Craigslist ad in the late 1800s.
I know, I'm old and you've maybe didn't get sober soon enough. I definitely didn't get sober soon enough.
You know, I think about that sometimes, actually, in all seriousness. I go, what if I hadn't been drinking all through my 20s? And I feel like, you know, though, I got 10 good years of tearing shit up. That's good. You know, I'm good with that.
That's how I feel about it.
I don't mind wasting my 20s on, you know, with that. Because I feel like, ultimately, my dad always said, like, my dad, who was not a sci-fi guy, he had a basic tenet of time travel theory, which was, I don't have any regrets because if I would have changed even one small thing, then it would have affected where I am today, and I'm happy where I am today.
Yeah.
So he never had any regrets about anything, and I think that's a pretty good, you know, like...
I've been reading some of the latest string theory, and I can tell him sadly that that's incorrect.
What?
No.
Oh, no.
It's just a different multiverse. Some of the latest. Any choice you make is just a different multiverse.
Brian Greene!
Yes. Damn that Brian Greene.
How dare
it's
he?
It's not so elegant, bro.
Sorry, bro.
I know. I too.
So elegant, bro. You know, okay. You make that joke. I met that guy. I met dude bro physicist guy at a party, name drop, at Dave Foley's house about 10 years ago. And I remember because I was still drinking at the time. And we were talking about, We were talking about like the, you know, many universes, and there was a guy who was dropping science in a, no, bro, because string theory says, and it was a lot of bros, and yeah. He did the hand gesture, and fucking, like he would say that.
Was it Brian Green?
It was not Brian Green. I think it was Brian Austin Green.
Wow. If you were setting that up that whole time, I'm kind of blown away. Wow.
That Megan Fox got some super strings. Huh?
Was it Eva Green?
It was not. It was Eva Green. Yeah, it was Eva Green. Oh, love Eva Green. That's so apparently
what's not
she's,
to love?
She's apparently she's super nerdy, like crazy smart. Eva Green speaks many languages.
I believe you. She's French.
She's Algerian.
She was
right?
in. She was naked most of the time.
She's Algerian. I met her.
She's not Algerian.
I believe she is.
Wow.
Katie, that's a.
Oh, good. We have
the internet.
We have the internet right now.
Because I moderate. Is there anything in there about being Algerian?
Yeah, definitely.
She's for Algerian.
Her mom was Algerian.
Fuck yeah!
Yeah! From downtown!
Yeah! Finally, my internet stalking has paid off. Because I moderated the 300 panel at Comic-Con last year, and when she said on the panel, she was like, oh, I'm really just a nerd. Like in that sultry voice. And I'm like, I don't know if I buy that. But I think she might be. I think she might be.
I want someone to stand up at Comic-Con some year and go, never read a comic. Don't really like this stuff.
The shit's weak, bro. Here to talk about Super String Theory, Brian Austin Green. What, bro? What, bro?
We went to Eva Green.
Yeah.
But we started with...
Brian Green. He went to Brian Austin
and
Green.
And being drunks.
And then Brian Austin Green is going to the Transformers panel to say to Michael Bay, what'd you do to my wife, dickhead?
Right.
And then there's they have a weird thing there. I don't think Brian Austin Green is that guy, but it sounds funny.
Yeah, no, the three name thing just always feel like a good setup.
What's your middle name?
It's Clark.
What's your first name?
I don't want to say. People will call me it.
Is it Martha Clark Kent? Martha Clark Gregg.
What's the father's name? This is just bad memory.
Jonathan.
Jonathan Kent. My name is Robert Clark Gregg. My dad is Robert. I've always been Clark.
Robert's a good... If you were down south, you could be RC. RC Gregg.
RC Cola.
RC Gregg.
Yes. Old Gregg.
Oh, I'm old Gregg.
It's my daughter's favorite thing
I'm
in the world.
Old Gregg.
I'm old Gregg. Do you like me?
Oh, my God.
Do you love me? I'm going to hurt you.
if
Do you
if,
like me? Make an assessment. The Mighty Boosh. Very funny.
That sketch will show you not only... the capacity that British comedy has to tangent onto things.
Oh my God.
But also, even they
it's
must
one of
have
the
been
great
like.
Things. Bill Paxton turned me onto it when he was doing Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Really?
He called me Old Gregg, and I was like, mean. And he goes, no, you don't know Old Gregg. And he showed it to me on an iPad, and I was just gobsmacked. The fact that it then turns into a giant homage to the kind of transcendental powers of Parliament, Funkadelic, and Bootsy Collins,
yeah.
My favorite band.
It just, they were just going, how far can we make this go? How far can it possibly go?
Playing your love games with me. Sorry, this is like the worst inside joke.
No, not if people have seen it. But the, you're a Parliament fan. Have you ever seen him live?
Yeah, many times. Not lately. I've seen George Clinton with his separate group when he put out a couple of those records. I've seen Parliament. It was one of the Mothership tour was one of my first concerts.
Wow. Because I saw them. I'd covered them for something
like in a cover band.
I did not cover their music.
You were not just knee deep. Yes.
Give us that funk now.
Na 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 na. Do, do, do.
It was at a.
I know no, the background vocals to P Funk.
It was a. I was in a free design Parliament Funkadelic mashup band. But the I covered them for something years and years ago, and so I got to go on their tour bus and be at one of their shows. And the amazing thing about it, as you know, is that there's like. Three busloads full of people.
On
They're
stage.
Just this strange family.
Often Maceo Parker from the James Brown Band.
Yeah, I mean, an amazing
Bernie Worrell, the amazing keyboard player.
And then some people who you're not really sure what they do. They're just part of the circus of the show.
They help keep the vibe.
They keep
alive.
The vibe. And yeah. So they just start playing. And at some point, George Clinton feels like, now it's okay for me to go on stage. And you never really know when that point is going to be, apparently. And then he just kind of wanders out and does his thing.
He's usually wearing something that's like a jumpsuit that like Elvis gave him, and then he took it to Don Cornelius and they fixed it.
Another one of Elvis's fuck-ups, I see. That is a great period of... I feel like...
Everyone who's under 45 has now tuned out.
Well, look it up on the internet,
yeah,
God
kids.
Damn it.
We knew funk.
Yes, we want it. We wanted the funk.
We want the funk.
You don't have the funk now. We'll give you the funk. Get off my funk lawn.
The P-funk, kid.
Oh, God damn it. It's so true. It's freaky to think that basically I always do the math of... I was watching some old Nirvana videos the other day where Butch Vig was talking about how they like, oh, we doubled Kurt's voice and then we dropped Dave Grohl and then we doubled his voice on Lithium. And I was watching that going, wow, that was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And at that time, 20 years before, would have been like just the birth of disco. And then I think 20 years before that was the 50s. Like, it freaks me out to think that. That period of time of grunge is basically a cycle. It's just, it freaks me out a little bit.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm just now ready to hear some disco again.
Are you ready for it again?
40 years later, I'm good. Okay. Once in a while, I'll hear like beep, beep, toot, toot. Okay, I can take it.
It's amazing how fast disco took over and then how once the clock turned 1980, how much everyone hated it. Like, it became the biggest, like...
Oh, yeah. My daughter will sometimes put on something with that 4/4 disco beat and then just, no, 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 no. I don't care who it is.
I got to say, though, the Bee Gees, they were pretty good.
Yeah, they aged very well as their music.
Yes,
they,
of course.
They themselves had more trouble with it, as we all do.
Yeah, of course. You know, time is a vicious asshole that rages on us and trolls our bodies.
I'm stealing that.
Please.
For what?
That's going on my tombstone far too soon.
Time is a vicious asshole that trolls our bodies. Mm-hmm. Clark Gregg. Robert Clark Gregg.
Stole it from Hardwick.
What are you going to do about it now?
Yeah, come get me, bro.
You could totally
plagiarize. Sue my ashes.
That's where
you could totally plagiarize your headstone.
Sue my vast estate from being a character actor for Marvel.
Your headstone is just two middle fingers.
That's not true. That's not fair. It was once true. It's no longer.
Right there. So now that Trust Me is it out yet or it's coming out? It's coming out May 6th. And
Trust
then
Me.
June 6th in theaters.
Thanks so much for getting us back there.
Yeah.
Trust Me.
Mm-hmm.
Trust Me, this little film that I made with a spectacular cast, is actually... A kind of weird indie comedy that is being released in the way that a lot of indie films are being released now. It's very unusual. And yet, I don't know, like a lot of this stuff, it's scary because it's so different than the model that we kind of have used for so long. At the same time, it's kind of exciting. It's different. Trust Me comes out first digitally, mm-hmm. I will say. I don't even know what it all means. But iTunes on May 6th, on demand, on a PlayStation. You can rack up your share of kills mm-hmm. on Call of Duty and then flick a couple of switches and be watching this
Trust Me.
Intense comedic noir mm-hmm. about an agent for child actors.
Oh,
at some
right.
point, I'm sure you're going to be able to use your controller to blow me away in that movie. But
that's the next phase. That's the next phase.
Sorry, didn't buy that.
Yeah, that's right. Another take, and then that's where they're just rifling through all the takes that you did.
They are the great SAG overseers.
Yeah, that's right. It's going to be, and a child shall lead them. And it's just a bunch of kids who take over SAG and turn all the movies into video games.
Yes.
That'd be amazing. Well, that's what happened with, that's why I love the South Park video game so much, because you actually are in South Park and you're interacting.
I've never played it. I didn't know that.
It
although
just came
when
out.
They first pitched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and there was a lot of danger in the first episode, I was like, oh, I'm Kenny. You're going to kill me every week, aren't you? And they were kind of like, no, hey.
They killed Agent Coulson.
Hey.
You bastards.
We still got some of that stuff.
Yeah. Every show's got a Kenny. Just someone that they feel like, you know, we can just kill this guy over and over again, and it's totally fine.
Such a great device.
People want to see... It's funny. People want to see you killed, but they're like, but we don't want him to go away.
Yeah.
It's just fun to watch him get killed, but then we want him to come back
yeah,
at
no,
the same
I've
time.
Yeah, no, I've seen... I don't want to spoil anything. If you haven't seen Captain America, the Winter Soldier, close your earbuds. There's been certainly some people going, oh, Jasper Sitwell. And I'm like, yeah, Max Hernandez, good guy. But Hydra.
Hydra.
Sorry, Hydra.
I guess Captain America, the Summer Soldier, is more of like a notebook-style romantic.
It's about a vacation. Nobody can find any block.
Rachel McAdams is in it because she's just – because you have to.
The encoded notebook.
We have to break the code. We have to discover that Hydra's behind everything during a month-long summer romance.
Out of the shadows into your boudoir.
Captain America, the Summer Soldier. Are you listening, Feige? Are you listening? I'm helping you expand your universe into other demographics.
I mean, you almost have an executive position at Marvel at this point.
I mean, I see it that way.
If I don't see you in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, I didn't get to be in Guardians of the Galaxy. Oh. I just want to pop up in one superhero.
Have you not?
No, I've never been in... Listen, even if I could just be like, here's your churro, Captain America. I don't know why he would stop for a churro.
That was my gig. It's now open. That used to be my... Hey, Hulk, want a Jamba Juice? I thought what I was going to do with
the Avengers. Yes, I got the green boost.
Thank God for Joss. Yes, the green boost. And so did you, my friend.
Yes, seriously. Okay, should I keep going or should I walk out? Okay.
Okay.
I should walk out.
You need me, friend? Okay, no.
Okay, no more. Black Widow, you good?
Okay,
it's okay.
Yeah.
You good? Need some leather scrub? Need a little leather scrub in a bathtub full of noodles?
Yeah.
Okay, you're good. Hawkeye? Arrows? Good. All right.
Nope, got that endless supply there, don't you?
Yeah, they're just... It's like a never-ending pasta bowl of...
Cap, you want me to polish your shield-a-rang? How does that thing keep coming back? Some crazy English you put on that thing, brother.
He's a super soldier.
He's so cute, he can do whatever he wants.
He's a super soldier.
Yes, he is.
It is really great, though. I really loved Winter Soldier, and it was so...
Me too.
And you know, and Captain America's a tough character because...
He beat Batroc.
Well, he's such a... You always know exactly where that guy is, like his alignment. Like, these types of lawful good characters... can run the risk of being boring because they're very predictable. You always know what they're going to do. But they managed to give him depth, and they made it, even just the tone of the movie and the look of it, it felt real good.
I got to give it up. I feel like what Joss did in The Avengers, certainly they wrote the hell out of the script for Winter Soldier, but the sadness of a guy who's kind of lost everybody so gave, and Chris played the hell out of it, that depth, that layer it really needed.
Because like so much with superhero stuff, especially if you're reading the comics, a lot of it you just sort of take for granted. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, he was, you know.
Yeah.
He was brought into this time.
Oh, tell me about it.
Of course, you know, fine.
What
that's
would
a given.
It really feel like to come back from the dead? You know, you have to kind of...
I did. I hosted Singled Out and then nothing for years. I ultimately came back from the dead. Mine felt pretty good,
that's
though.
That's the theme of this podcast, then.
Coming back from the dead.
Yes, indeed.
Hail Hydra.
Hardwick lives. Stop saying
that. What am
that?
I saying? What? I was just... Okay. I'm just saying Hydra came back. I feel like if there were a Hydra, it would be producing like the Kardashian... Ryan Seacrest is Hydra. I just figured it out.
If you hold the Hydra emblem up to the light, you can totally see his company's logo.
Yeah, that you totally see RSP, Ryan Seacrest Productions. And Hydra's catchphrase is, hey, buddy. Like, you can totally see it.
McConaughey.
No, I don't think it's...
All right. Hydra. true detective.
Oh, I saw a great picture on Reddit. It was some artist had basically... they wrote Hail Hydrant, and next to a hydrant, they had painted a bunch of octopus legs.
It's a really good thing I've seen it.
Yeah, it's a good... I love a good meme.
The memes have been out there. The Bert and Ernie whispering Hail Hydra in each other's ears, all of them. No, not Ernie. They got Ernie.
But that's how you know. That's how you know that you made something special is when, like, meme status is good. Meme status is good.
It can't be bad.
Are you? Do you spend a lot of time on the internet, or does it frighten? Do you shy away from it because it's too immersive?
Yes and yes. I don't shy, except for the shying away part. I spend a fair amount of time there. It's became my territory a little bit in that, you know, the fandom the fandom has such interesting things to say. And one of the interesting things they said was that that Coulson lives.
Mm-hmm.
And they were very much kind of instrumental. The guys, when they told me, listen, you know, Joss wasn't kidding. You have a great part in the Avengers. What happens to you is what brings them together. I was like, what? they said, oh, no, it's going to be good. You're going to die and everyone's going to be sad. And I was like, have you seen the other movies? I'm a little snarky. I'm kind of an annoying bureaucrat, you know, to a certain like, no, trust me. And I was kind of convinced, like, people would be like, oh, thank God that guy's gone.
Yeah.
And so when they kind of started that movement and there was kind of hashtag Coulson lives everywhere, I was frankly very grateful and moved. And I think it's why we have this show. So I got into the Twitter, what the kids are doing with the Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter got me doing Instagram. And it's fascinating to me. I like it. I would like to spend a little bit less time, although ABC says, you know, let's do the live tweeting. And it's actually really fun.
Well, of course. I mean, it's fun in the right doses and in the right way. I mean, there are
every once in a while there's a tweet that's less fun than some of the others.
And as much as we complain, because, you know, obviously as performers we're insecure, and so when people tweet mean things at us, it scratches at nerves that we have of feeling like, oh, of course I'm not good enough, and this is the person calling me out on that or whatever. But
oh, yeah.
But there's a lot of really great, wonderful, supportive people and communities online that, you know, like I think it'd be really boring to have been a performer when it was, you know, there's a vast separation between me and the audience. Like there was a period of time where performers had no contact with any of their audience, didn't see them, didn't give a shit about them, just sort of did their thing and then lived in seclusion away from the huddled masses.
Yeah, I mean, you know, had a kind of almost derision or just...
Yeah, don't bother me.
Yeah, I think they were missing out. I mean, I came up doing theater for years, and it had a very intense interaction, even in a silent audience, hopefully not always silent, but that you felt. And when I first started working in kind of TV and movies, and you do it, and it's kind of – maybe if you're lucky, you get one of the grips to laugh a little. But you don't really know what's landing and what's not. And so to kind of be on there in the live tweet and see people going – connecting with what you're doing is huge.
Yeah.
And I think it's, in a way, it's really brought that back to a medium that was very isolating for actors and filmmakers.
But then also, it also means that you have to be a bit more accountable, which I think is okay.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because I got in some hot water.
What?
I got in some hot, what?
Were there noodles in there?
Would that there were. Uh-oh. I would have a lovely butt broth.
Were they rage, but instead it was rage noodles.
It was funny because we just shot a long day this season, middle of the season, and they said, you know, we're going to bring in these clusters of journalists. And I was sitting on the plane with young Chloe Bennett, one of my charges in S.H.I.E.L.D., and someone I care about a lot, kind of not 10 feet away. And out of the throng, this guy burst out and said, what do you think about all the geeks who bailed on your show? I was like, well, I don't think they have. But I was totally hurt my feelings. Mm-hmm. I was like, he's like, oh, no, they have. I'm a geek. We've bailed on your show. And I was like, well, those aren't geeks. Those are losers.
Well, of course. Okay. So I can already see down the line was that written in print or was that?
Came out in print.
See, that's the problem.
It came out in print.
You don't get
and,
the
and you know, like to us, it was those. Are, I mean, I was trying to.
You're trying to. You're
I was trying to make. I was trying to diffuse it with a snarky joke.
Trying to snark your way out of it.
Because it's not even losers. It's losers.
Right.
You know, like my daughter. He's a loser, and it was not what I would retroactively have said. I don't think anyone who was having problems with the way the show was going is a loser. I never thought that.
But if you saw that saw the video of it, then you go, oh, he's obviously fucking around.
I also got. It was on my plane. I, you know, I have trouble separating between Coulson. I've got young Sky 10 feet away. Don't you? There's people who are giving all of their waking hours to make this work. Don't you come and trash
that guy,
me
that
so
guy
rudely.
Was baiting you with something confrontational.
And
because
it worked.
How are you supposed to answer that,
it
really?
It worked. You know what? I regret it. And people were like, this really hurt my feelings. You said that. And I was like, I didn't want to get into it. I let it go. But it was something I really felt bad about. And I realized, like, wow, I feel very protective of the people who work here. And I got goaded into something and bam, it's out there and it's printed and it's, I don't know, I didn't feel like in print it came out in any way how I meant it.
It got away from you.
Yeah.
And took on a life of its own. But then you could always fire back with, well, why'd you bail on my show, bro? Why'd you fucking bail on my show, bro?
I know. I said, what I really said, I think, was like, well, let me explain that, because I think you got under my skin a little bit. I said, I grew up loving Marvel Comics, and to me, anybody who did, when Marvel first tries to do a TV show, not with the 30-year-old characters, but with a whole bunch of new characters and a minor character who is dead, it might take a minute. You might give them a moment, you know, before you bail.
Yeah. Well,
which is a more reasonable response than calling somebody.
I wonder if it was presented in the way that it was. I wonder if his side was presented to the reading audience the way that it was presented to you, of like, I'm one of these geeks and we bailed. Like, that's essentially.
You know, it's funny you say that. The thing that got under my skin was, are you speaking for all of a club that I actually feel like I'm part of?
Right.
But I don't know. It's interesting. It was interesting to see how much people came after me. It was interesting. Something Twitter, which is a really enjoyable space for me. For a minute, there was some people really coming after me saying really.
I like to make people accountable for, because to say we, when you really mean I,
yeah,
is kind of a chicken shit move, because you're basically, you're pawning off. My biggest complaint with a lot of what we do in our culture now is pawning off responsibility for things, you know, and being like, well, we as a group. And everyone's going to go, okay, well, who's the collective group of we? Yes, of course, there are some people, but who are you aligning yourself with?
It's the
with?
Low road. It's like when you're in an argument with someone and they go, I'm not the only one who
thinks exactly.
This.
I'm not the only one. You know, a lot of us have been talking. And yes. Like, I I've been defending you, but I don't know what they're. And I feel like it's more respectful to just say, I have bailed from your show, but people are afraid to do that. And, you know, the truth of the matter is, this person probably, maybe, you know, he and some of his friends, maybe they bailed. But it's still to say, like, the geeks, like, we all have bailed and it's us. And I'm the speaker. I was the non-appointed speaker. And we all feel this. I feel like that's unfair and that's baiting. And unfortunately, sometimes it works because our feelings get hurt.
Yes.
Yeah, and then you put that guy's teeth down his throat, right?
I'm so sorry. Oh, he's guy. No, he's totally Hydra.
What? He's Ryan Seacrest? Hey, buddy, all the geeks bailed on the show. What are you going to do, buddy? Well, I'm glad that you and then when you did get to sort of tell your side of it, were people like, oh, okay.
I didn't really. I saved it for now.
Another Clark Gregg exclusive.
Let it all go away. I think it's best. I've learned in the years since I quit drinking, that it's best to take a moment and think things through and let those feelings subside.
Yeah, try not to comment emotionally. Try not to email or tweet or anything when you're feeling emotional, because emotions are they're not your ground state, and you may feel something in a moment that you might not feel.
Oh, yeah, it's funny. It's an interesting part of our social media interactivity that I worry about a lot. I have a 12-year-old daughter, you know, her friends, they're all into Instagram. And if anything had been out there that would permanently record my thoughts and feelings as a 12, 20, or even 30-year-old, that would not be good.
Sure.
The impulsive thoughts, God forbid, a photograph, you know what I mean?
Right.
Yes, of New York, me, circa 1981. No, bad. Just came out of the Mud Club, 7 in the morning. No, that should not be anywhere.
Well, that's unfortunately, I mean, it's fortunately or unfortunately the way it is now. It's just like, well, everything's fair game. You know, we live public lives now. And that's, you know, as we've transitioned from the isolated existences that we had before social media, now people do feel entitled, like, to have it all. They get it all. And if
it is. It's a dangerous Asgardian scepter to play with. Like, here, I want to court this level of interactivity with a vast number of people I don't know. And at the same time, uh-oh.
Yeah, because it's a scary thing to think that, I mean, look, as much as people can hop on something that someone said, even if it's taken out of context, or even if that person did, even if you did mean that and you're like, oh, fuck, all those people are losers. You're a human being, and you're entitled in a moment to have an emotion. But I feel like sometimes that we as a culture are a little unforgiving of people, and we oftentimes don't think, well, if everything I said in a day was recorded, or if everything I said in, you know, like in, during one conversation was recorded and taken out of context, how many things could people misconstrue as me just being able to be written off as a dick, as opposed to, oh, I'm a human being, and sometimes in interactions,
things
happen.
Because everything's recorded. And the fact is, I believe most people sometimes, will say the worst thing they can think of because they're that triggered.
Yeah.
They're that tweaked or that upset. What's the meanest thing I can say? And suddenly that could be on the record.
Yeah. Well, I've seen some paparazzi, like when someone's coming out of a place and they want to get a picture of them, they'll say really shitty, mean things. So the person will turn and react. And if it's kind of like a quizzical or an angry look, then they immediately get to use those like on Us Magazine. So-and-so storms out of restaurant. Like they're basically trying to coax. And the real pro performers just, they don't react. I cannot help but react to things. So I would be like, wait a minute. And then I would totally get tried. I'm very easy to bait.
Me too, it turns out. Yeah, it's strange. I mean, it's funny. It's one of the things that made me want to write this film, trust me, which is, it sounds like I'm just trying to get it back to trust me.
No, no, no.
There is this mania. There is this American obsession. It's probably global, but it feels this American obsession with celebrity now that's kind of, it's the reality shows. People will see, and I guess to me I started to be aware of the kind of creepier elements of it when I saw like some of the, those daytime talk shows, I guess they were in the 80s, Jerry Springer.
Oh, yeah.
People are willing to subject themselves to the most ridiculous level of humiliation if they can be on TV for a minute.
Yeah. That was a 90s phenomenon when you had your Sally Jesse Raphael and your Richard Bay and Geraldo. Ricky Lake and Geraldo. And I mean, and it all sort of, I think it spawned out of like the Phil Donahue era of daytime talk shows being sort of like, oh, we're really going to break things down and try to understand them. But then it just became...
Jerry.
Yeah.
And I'd be sitting there, unfortunately, more empathic than any human ought to be, going, it's not his kid? I thought he just found out it's not his kid.
Oh, it's his best friend's kid. And they're sitting right there.
This is awful. Turn it off.
Oh, some shit's going to go down. I know. I feel too much sadness for humanity to get a thrill out of that stuff. Like, I watch this stuff and I don't think it's funny. I just go, God damn it. These poor people.
Yeah.
But they go on willingly. They know what the show is. I mean, you know, you can't watch the Jerry Springer show for years and go on and be like, they got me. Like, you got to fucking, you probably know what the score is going into that. And,
but do you?
Well,
do you really
but
know?
But I question the veracity of most of it.
I've spent my life studying acting, what's good acting, and I would watch those people going, that guy, this is either real or that's the best work I've seen in 3 months.
I wonder if there's anything... It would be fun to do some kind of a...
Where are they now?
Either a where are they now or sort of like the... I'm going to reach back a little bit. The plot of the film Rhinestone, where Dolly Parton spots Sylvester Stallone as a cat, where she says to her manager, I'm going to make a country star out of the next person I see. And then up... This is in the trailer that I remember. Then up pulls Sylvester Stallone. Hey, who needed a cab? That guy is impossible to turn into a country star. And of course, they do it. So how do you turn...
Somehow...
Yeah.
Against all odds.
Yeah.
You just made a compelling pitch for me to see that movie. Oh my God, I had no idea that's what it's about. You know, they pitched that in the room and the executives were like, home run.
Yeah,
night.
Done. Here's a bag of money and go.
Or else it's probably started with, look, I just need something for Sly.
Yeah, he's got
anything. I don't care what it is.
He wants to step outside his comfort zone, but he's looking to do a country comedy.
Do you have that or something where, like, his mom's a cop, too.
Yeah.
Stop or my mom will blow your head off.
Cupcakes, blow your head off.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. Stop or my mom will shoot you a dirty look. She, I think this was in the mid to late 80s. It was Sly was at his peak. Dolly Parton was doing a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, and that pitch. What if Dolly Parton could turn this fucking guy into a... I don't even know if I really remember the movie. I just remember the trailer. And I feel like the trailer is all you need to know.
Oh, no. There's a whole...
Are you going to watch Rhinestone?
Many levels
Katie,
beyond that.
See
it's
if
like Chekhov.
Yes, I can check that off my list of films that I don't need to see. Yeah, see if Rhinestone's on Watch It Now on Netflix.
And if you can't find it... Be
Trust
sure to check
me.
Out Trust Me On Demand or iTunes. I guarantee you.
May 5th. Or May 6th. Or June 6th if you want to go see it on
in
a
theaters.
Theater.
In, yeah, to start with 10 or 12 cities.
And it's not available to stream. Oh, just DVD only? Yeah. God damn it. Licensing fees. Or, you know, what you could do is go to a movie theater with your laptop and watch Trust Me. But just watch on your laptop like 6 seconds behind what's happening in the theater so that you could drive people crazy by making them feel time distorted.
This is about to be funny.
And then Brian Austin Green's like, no, bro, your computer's not alternate universe. Bro. Should we get Brian Austin Green on the podcast at some point and find out if he understands bro physics?
See if you can pull some strings.
Oh, some super strings.
Some vibrating coils of alternate reality.
Spoiler, in an alternate universe that already happened.
As a result of this conversation.
That's right. In an alternate universe, Brian Austin Green actually is a physicist.
In an alternate universe, people listen to us and actually do stuff we say.
In an alternate universe, Megan Fox is an actual talking fox. Yeah, that's right.
That's the one I want to live in. In an alternate universe, Coulson does not live.
What?
Oh, that makes me sad.
Oh, shit. Yeah, Hydra. What did I mean to? In an alternate universe, you work for Hydra.
Oh, God, that's probably true.
That is true.
Season 2, spoiler.
In an alternate universe.
Oh, my God.
So what else?
In an alternate universe, what? Captain America 3.
Summer Soldier.
Subtitle, Hail Summer. Hydra Soldier.
Summer Soldier.
Yes.
Summer Soldstress, where it's the longest... Captain America's okay. I'm going to justify this.
He's a lady soldier?
He's a lady soldier, and it's the longest day of his year. Being a lady soldstress.
Because he slipped into a wormhole.
He slipped into a wormhole.
Where Bucky Barnes.
Yes, that's right.
And, is still a good guy.
And Matthew McConaughey from Contact is there.
Time is a flat circle. And I am the Yellow King.
How do I know that the same universe you perceive is not the same one I perceive, Bubba?
Anybody got a beer can and want to make some paper dolls?
I think Clark Gregg doing Matthew McConaughey on the podcast might be one of the...
Lowlights.
Nope, it's a highlight. In an alternate universe, it's a lowlight.
That's all I do in my new film, Trust Me.
So, I just got to say, how do you feel knowing that all the geeks bailed on your McConaughey bit?
Sad. But I accept their decision, and I love them always, whether they love me back or not. Now that I'm more evolved and I've gotten over my knee-jerk angry reactions.
Clark Gregg gets a mulligan.
I'm an oldest of four. I'm very protective of my younger siblings.
I withdraw my question. This went on for ages. It's you have to give the longest, most convoluted, sad answer, so they're just like, never mind.
Yes, do you have demonstrable proof in more than a few multiverses that all the geeks bailed on my show? Because they might regret it.
You never know.
It's going to get cool.
Some of them will, some of them won't. We don't know unless
we don't know.
Observed.
Exactly.
Heidrisberg uncertainty principle.
Nice.
Thanks. I pulled it all together.
You let the Schrodinger's cat out of the bag.
Oh, or did I?
Did you? In one world you did, and one you didn't.
Well, it depends on if I was looking at your bag.
It's living right now in a non-specific state, like me.
Oh, bro. Shit, bro. How do I know I can't measure the vector and velocity at the same time unless I'm observing that I also fuck up the experiment?
Sorry, no photons.
What? No photons. Oh!
This is interesting to all 11 people who like this stuff.
The Heisenberg uncertainty paparazzi. No photons. Oh, that's amazing. I think that's a perfect place. I think that is a stuck landing right there as we draw this hour-long podcast to a close.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Trust me.
Thanks for having me.
Trust me, you will enjoy Trust Me.
In the multiverse where you did.
That's right. Where you've already seen it.
Yes.
And it's already been made. Where Matthew McConaughey actually plays Clark Gregg's character in an alternate universe.
All right, all right, all right.
All right, all right, all right. Trust me. Did you... you know what? Cut this part out. We'll talk about it afterwards because I talked about it on a recent podcast. But did you... I'll ask you afterwards. It was a movie he was in that it was... Anyway.
Which?
Bernie. Did you see Bernie?
I didn't see Bernie, the Linklater film? Great.
It is great. Yeah.
Quality.
It's real great. But I just talked about it on the Jim Rash podcast. So I'll tell you about it after we stop. Are you Clark Gregg on Instagram? Just Clark Gregg on Instagram? Okay, Clark Gregg on Instagram, Clark Gregg in the tweets. Trust me on the Netflixes and the movie theaters.
Clark Gregg official page on Facebook. It's actually something I've been doing a lot.
Nice. You making a little like a dream journal on there? You wake up and just write about your thoughts and dreams?
What I do is I put my dreams in a dream catcher,
mm-hmm.
and then I post a picture of that. And I let the true psychics Tell me what happened.
I put my dreams in a dream catcher, and then I ask Rachel McAdams to hold it. And then she talks about love a lot. It's real pretty. It's real pretty. Rachel.
You're a Rachel McAdams fan.
Big, yeah.
Who's not?
I mean, it's everyone. Are you going to McAdams Con this year?
I just watched Mean Girls.
Oh, good movie.
She was super mean.
Yeah. She was a mean girl.
But in life, I heard she's really nice.
She's probably really nice.
Have her on.
Yeah, okay.
In one of the multiverses. You just did.
I already did. She was great. We can summon her.
We should be able to double stream this into a Physics for Knuckleheads podcast as well.
I want to learn more about physics. Tell me about Newtonian law. So every action has an equal and opposite reaction.
It does if you sit in a bathtub full of noodles.
Could Dolly Parton turn me into a country star?
Have we stopped recording?
No, this is going to go on.
Okay, you cut that part. Okay.
Tell me your dreams, Clark.
I'm being followed by a dream catcher.
Dream catcher, dream catcher.
Okay, I don't even know now. Now we're just...
Now we're just free associated.
Stream of consciousness.
Yeah. Black, white, dog, cat, open, close. No, we stop. We'll get out before then. enjoy your burrito.
Hail Hydra.
I will never say it.
What? Oh, so what is that... what's that like frozen rain that falls down? It's sort of like balls of ice balls that fall out of the sky.
Snow?
No. It's harder. It's
sleet?
Just like, it's like sleet, but it's thicker. It's thicker.
I will never say it.
Ugh. Damn it.
Not until season two.
What?
What?
Spoilers.
Spoilers. Right. Okay.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
This episode of the Nerdist Podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website, portfolio, or online store. For a free trial and 10% off, go to squarespace.com. Use the offer code Nerdist.
For more than two centuries, the White House has been the stage for some of the most dramatic scenes in American history. Inspired by the hit podcast American History Tellers, Wondery and William Morrow present the new book, The Hidden History of the White House. Each chapter will bring you inside the fierce power struggles, the world-altering decisions, and shocking scandals that have shaped our nation. You'll be there when the very foundations of the White House are laid in 1792, and you'll watch as the British burn it down in 1814. Then you'll hear the intimate conversations between FDR and Winston Churchill as they make plans to defeat Nazi forces in 1941. And you'll be in the Situation Room when President Barack Obama approves the raid to bring down the most infamous terrorist in American history. Pre-order The Hidden History of the White House now in hardcover or digital editions wherever you get your books.